Welcome to the RodeoKids.com podcast. I'm your host, Camry Widmer. With us today is Cammy Schultz and Angela from Moscow, Iowa. Cammy, how about you go ahead and tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, like where you're from, how old you are, and what events you compete in.
My name is Cammy Schultz. I'm from Iowa. I'm 15 years old. I've been riding since I was 7. I have a pretty little pony named Sky. I have 2 other horses. I do a lot of barrel racing. I go to a lot of rodeos and local shows. I do a lot of the games, so pole bending, flag, speed race, jumping figure eight, all that at the local shows. And I'm a member of the Iowa NBHA, so mostly just barrel racing, but I do the other stuff too.
Okay, so you're pretty involved.
Yep.
Yeah. Do you do anything outside of rodeo? Are you involved in any school activities?
Yes. I run track, and I'm in volleyball, and I'm also an SFA.
Oh, wow. Really busy.
Yeah.
Yeah. How did you get your start with horses?
So my aunt actually rode when she was younger and got out of it because she was in pageants and everything, so when she got back into it, she put me in lessons for my birthday, and it just clicked. I was kind of just a natural at it, so.
So you love it?
Yes, I do.
Yes, that's great. Can you tell the listeners, you know, something that you have maybe struggled with, or, you know, give them something that, tell them something that you feel like would be helpful for them?
There's a first time for everything. So when I got my pony, she was very, very controlling of me. She didn't really have very much respect of me, and I didn't trust her, so it was kind of tough at first, and building that bond was huge. So we got her, and we didn't get along very well, and it took me forever to get along with her. So building that bond is really important when you're doing this rodeo stuff, because it's a team effort all the time. It's never just the rider or the horse. It really is a team effort.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Are there any specific things that you did to build that bond with your pony?
It was a lot of time together not riding. So
okay.
Taking her out on walks, letting her graze, just letting her eat while I'm around her, petting her, brushing her. That one-on-one time without riding really helped.
Are there specific things that she does now that you've built that bond that you notice? Like, is she closer to you? Does she come to you when you catch her? I mean, what were the changes that you saw over spending that time with her outside of riding?
She always pushed my limits. Like, she would do everything she could to push her limits, to push my limits when I first got her. And it's definitely different now. She'll try, and as soon as she figures out that I don't deal with it, she's just kind of done. So she's never hard to catch in the pasture. I say her name, and she comes looking at me, and I don't know, we get along much better than we did when I first got her because of the bond that we built, so.
That's awesome. That's really cool. Is there anything else that, you know, you've experienced when you're riding her that you've seen a change in since you took the time on the ground?
Every single movement of my body she responds to, so that's kind of how I trained her, I guess, but you can tell that she likes her job, and she wants to listen to what my body is doing. So
I think that is such a good point. That's one thing that I tell everybody that comes for lessons, especially in barrel racing and pole bending, because we're asking our horses to be so athletic and bend and flex and move, that horses and ponies mimic what our body does. Literally, if we want a horse to get their hind end up underneath of them, and we want their hips to tilt and their rib cage to bend and their nose to come around and their shoulders to stay up. And, you know, if our bodies mimic that, if we watch the professionals who are at the top, you know, they're not leaning, their hips aren't going in towards the barrel, you know, they're right up underneath of them, their ribs are engaged. Everything about the way that the rider is positioned makes a difference for the horse. So I think that's so critical. How did you learn that? Yeah. Was that just from experience, or did somebody teach you?
So when I was put in lessons, I hadn't gotten Sky yet. I was just kind of riding to ride. Once my aunt and the rest of my family realized that it just kind of came naturally to me along the road, I did get a pony, and I was actually riding one of my horses now named Sippy, and she really taught me a lot of what I know. So her listening to everything that I did, because she was just so broke, really taught me that whatever I do, she's going to do also. So when I trained Skye, I just kind of knew that. So it just kind of fell into place really well.
I love that you were given the opportunity to learn on a horse that could teach you first. I feel like oftentimes people make the mistake, or maybe it's not a mistake, but they think that getting a horse that they can grow with, that a child or a beginner can teach how to do things and they can become a team together, isn't always the best approach to learning. You send your kids to school to learn first. You know, we've got teachers, people that are educated and experienced, and that's how we start, why we start in kindergarten and work our way up. It's the same thing with horses. I feel like we need to start with horses that can teach us, and then we're able to flip the switch and get those horses that we can use the education that we've got to train. So kudos to your family for letting you start on a horse that was able to teach you. That's so critical, in my opinion. When you go to competitions and you're getting prepared to go in the gate, in the arena, is there anything that you do specifically to help yourself stay mentally strong?
I think that I'm just going to go in there, going to make a few second run and get it over with. I know that my horses work well. It's up to me to be able to have a good performance, so I just kind of breathe. I think of all the good runs that I have had. I try to stay positive. I do a lot of petting in the beginning and the end. Talking to my horses is huge. Bonding before we run is a really big thing.
Yeah, bonding with them before, letting them know beforehand and afterwards that you appreciate them and that you enjoy being around them, I think gives them the confidence. We can't speak to them and they can't speak to us except through our body language and our energy. And that's the only way we can really transmit what we believe in and what we think of them to them. So we have to make sure to really do everything that we can to encourage them and make them feel just as positive. And, I like how you talked about being positive and saying mental things to yourself, because if we go in the arena having a negative mindset to begin with, then we've already set ourselves up for failure. Are there any pre-rodeo or pre-jackpot rituals that you have when you're warming your horse up, or maybe even before you load the trailer up to go? What kinds of things do you do to get prepared?
It's really just the bond, I guess. I don't really have anything in particular that I do, but I just love to spend that one-on-one time before I run, telling my horses, like, we're going to have a good run. I usually whisper in my horse's ear, we're going to kill it, like, we got it.
That's awesome.
It's that positive attitude, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. So you're involved in a lot of things outside of rodeo as well, and jackpots and barrel racing. How do you manage all of that? How do you keep it all together and still spend time with your horses?
It's tough. It can be really stressful at times. Most days, or I guess it's every other day, I go out to my aunt's house and spend time with my horses, and I'm there every other weekend also. And usually if I have a jackpot or a rodeo or a show, I'll be there that day and usually the night before to spend that time with them and get them ready. So my schedule is packed full, but I find the way.
My mom has always told me, what's important to you, you will always make time for that. It's all about your priorities. And if it's something that you really love and you enjoy and you want to get better at, no matter what else you have going on, you will find time for it.
I played softball last year, and I did a lot of the rodeo last year, and I actually didn't play this year so I could go to more, but the weather just isn't agreeing, so.
Unfortunately, that is something that's out of our control. I think it's important to note here that you went out for softball, but made the decision this year not to because you weren't able to do as much as you wanted to in the horse world. And I think that's a really tough decision for some people to make sometimes. We want to be involved in as much as we possibly can, but sometimes in being too involved and spreading ourselves too thin, we just cause more problems and it doesn't make us a very good teammate. We're selling them short if you know, it's our softball team or it's our horse, we're not spending enough time and we're not fully dedicated to what we really love. So while that decision can be difficult, I think it's important to not spread ourselves too thin and to be completely dedicated to what we are involved in.
Yes.
Yeah. So how are you, you know, that's another thing that's been a struggle for a lot of people all around the country. I mean, I know you're from Iowa and I was just back there this weekend visiting family and friends and it just rained and rained and rained. And even here in, you know, I live in Colorado and the weather hasn't been what we planned it to be. You know, we live in the high desert, but we've had a lot more rain than we've ever had before. You know, how are you staying on top of it and staying motivated? Because it can be easy to get discouraged when you don't get that practice in. Are there things that you're doing to stay on top of your game, even though you're not getting to compete as much as you'd like?
2 weeks ago, actually, I went to a show, and the forecast said that it was supposed to rain later on in the day, and I actually was not having a very good day that day. I brought my thoroughbred, my OTTB, to show, and we put her in everything to get the experience and get her doing everything and get her knowing the show better. And she was having a bad day also, and none of it really ended well. And I brought my pony, and all she did was sit there because we had a bad day, it started raining, and I guess her sitting there and sitting in the rain and watching me be in a bad mood and watching my horse have a bad day really just showed me, like, she has the patience for it, and she likes to do it, and she was ready to do it. So her doing that really shows me, like, what it's worth in the end. She makes it worth it.
It sounds like you've definitely put the work in beforehand so that when you do have those days that are a little rough, because, you know, no matter how hard we all try to be positive all the time, we're still going to have a bad day every now and then. But if we've done our work beforehand, we've spent the time with our horses and ponies and really done our best to be our best as often as possible, when we do come up short, they'll have our back.
Yes, definitely.
That's awesome. Do you read any books or listen to podcasts, or is there any YouTube videos or any educational type things that you do to stay sharp and continue to advance?
I actually watch the Fallon Taylor vlogs. I watch them a lot. Watching her train her foals and everything, it's really inspiring. Watching how she can go from nothing to, you know, having a $50,000 horse. I don't really know how to explain it because I don't know what that's like, but watching her do it is inspiring to me and inspiring to a lot of people. So her positive attitude and the way she does it, just, I don't know, it keeps me going.
Yeah, Fallon Taylor's definitely been huge for the industry, and I know a lot of people follow her. I follow her Snapchat, and I enjoy listening to, you know, she's always upbeat and positive and you know, constantly trying to provide opportunities for herself and for all of her fans and people that follow her as well. So she's definitely a good person to look up to. Is there anybody else that you look up to or anybody that you would like to recognize that's helped you on your journey?
Definitely my parents and my aunt. There's a boarder at my aunt's house. Her name is Liz. She's been a huge impact on everything that we do. She's been a huge help. My grandparents are huge supporters. Everyone in my family is really just huge in everything that I do and super supportive, so...
Yeah. Takes a village, a whole tribe to get to where you want to go and to get up and down the road. And even when, you know, you're younger and you might mostly stay in, you know, around Iowa and in the Midwest, you need to have that support forever, you know, in everything in life. And so that's great that you've got that. Yeah. Not everybody does. And we're very lucky when we do.
Yeah.
Well, Angela, she's here too. Let's have her tell us a little bit about what she's, you know, watched as you have gone through your struggles and, you know, if she has any advice that she would like to give.
Hi, Cammie.
Hello.
So I started riding when I was really, really young. I actually didn't barrel race or do any of that. I showed a lot of Western Pleasure and Halter. I didn't like English Pleasure, and my trainers never did any of the fast stuff. And then I got out of it and got back into it and realized that the slow stuff was kind of boring as I got older, and then I started barrel racing. And when I saw that my niece, really enjoyed being around the horses, her mom and I decided that we were going to put her in horseback riding lessons for her birthday, and she was a natural. She had a really good seat. She loved it. We tried the learn from your aunt bit, and that didn't go over very well. So she took lessons from a super good trainer in our area for a couple of years. The struggles that we have together is we butt heads a lot. When I'm trying to help her, as she's gotten older, it's gotten a lot better. Now that she's 15, I think she realizes that maybe I do know what I'm talking about, and taking a little bit of advice and even turning it into your own way of doing things is probably one of the best things that I think she's learned. Is everyone's going to give you advice. When you're at a barrel race, you're at a show, everyone has advice. It's free advice. The best way to handle it is to smile, nod, take a little bit of that advice, try it. If it doesn't work, something in that is going to open up your mind to something a little bit better, and you might ride your horse a little bit better. You might turn a little bit better around a barrel. You might be able to sit a little bit better in your saddle. We're fortunate enough to have, we own a boarding facility, and we've had some amazing riders come through our boarding facility. We had Amberly Snyder come through our facility and do a clinic, and we have some really good riders that are at our facility now. They're always helping Cammie. They're always helping Everly, my daughter. Everyone's positive words help the girls out. The hardest part is when the girls come in and they've either fallen off once too many times, or they've, you know, tried to lift a shoulder on a horse that's dipping the shoulder, and then they want to sell their horse or they want to stop riding. I think we all go through that, though. But they work through it, and they always come out a little bit stronger.
Yeah. I think that there's so much, you know, I've been doing clinics and lessons since I was in high school, and so many parents and people that help kids and bring them say, you know, well, I've been telling them that same exact thing, but they just won't listen to me. And, you know, I know from experience with my own mom, she was a professional barrel racer. My dad was a professional team roper, and there were times in my life that I really struggled to listen to them. Mom had suggest something, and I just bull up and get bullheaded and not want to listen to her and almost feel embarrassed because I wanted to do it myself and I wanted to do it on my own. And learned over time that that's not necessarily the way to do it. You know, as people with more experience, you know, like you said, you can take some or leave it, but you should always at least try everything one time and try to be open-minded, because you never know what might work and what might be the ticket.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
It sounds like you guys are doing a great job of giving these girls opportunities and hauling them around. And that's just, it's so cool to hear all the different stories and be involved and, you know, see what parents and family members and friends are willing to do to help these kids get to the next level. Because without the parents and the family and the friends, then they don't get to advance and get to the next level. So that's pretty awesome.
Yep.
Well, thank you guys very much for your time. I really appreciate it. I think you guys had some really valuable content that, you know, our listeners can take down the road with them, and hopefully it'll help them get to the next level as well.
You are very welcome. Thank you.
Yes, you guys have a great day. A huge thanks to Cammie and Angela for taking time out of their day to educate us on the RodeoKids.com podcast. Cammie talked about taking the time to bond with her pony and how that's helped her trust and depend on her even when conditions aren't great. She's making the sacrifices and choices to be all that she can be at a few things instead of spreading herself too thin, which I think we all sometimes struggle with. Angela had great advice in getting lessons instead of butting heads with Cammie. Now, Cammie's coming around to see that Angela does know some stuff, and it's making their communication even better. So don't fight it and get the lessons. It'll be worth it in the long run. Her recommendations to listen to advice with a smile, try it out, then leave it if it doesn't work, take it if it does, is spot on. especially as we are working with new horses and ponies, because they're all different and what works for one might not work for the next. So be open-minded. Always remember that people are trying to help you and they have the best of intentions.
From RodeoKids.com, we wish you both the best of luck in your competing and coaching endeavors. This RodeoKids.com podcast was brought to you by the Performance Pony Company, bridging the pony tack gap. To find all your bits, tack, and accessories for your pony or small horse, visit www.performanceponycom.